The Bush administration began with an aggressive agenda on public education. Reforming schools and boosting the performance of minority students had been top priorities for the president. But after 8 years, that legacy is mixed. Educators are looking at the McCain education platform and ask whether a new Republican administration might bring a different approach. We discuss that now with a roundtable of educators. Joining us are Joanne Wilkerson, a veteran educator in Anderson, Indiana, Freddie McGee, the principal of Hull Middle School in Benton, Michigan, and also with us is Anna Rivas Logan, a Republican member of the Miami-Dade school system in Florida. Welcome to the program, all of you.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Anna Rivas Logan, let's start with you. You're actually with us from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. So tell us about John McCain's education policy and what you think of it.
Well, let's talk about the No Child Left Behind, because that's where we have to springboard from and what we have done, what the Republicans have done with this new platform. First of all, I want to start out by saying that I do believe it does need to be tweaked. But let's talk about some of the positives of the platform.
But let's not go backwards. Let's go forward. Let's talk about this platform, not the Bush administration, but let's go forward to McCain.
Well, let's talk about social promotion. You know, we have pretty much ended social promotion, and we will continue on that platform of ending social promotion, local accountability. We put accountability back to the local school systems, and the subgroups have been highlighted. The minority and the special needs children have been recognized and have been moved forward, and we will continue moving them forward with our new platform.
Freddie, let me ask you, as somebody really on the front lines, how has No Child Left Behind, how has it affected your job, your school?
Well, first off, let me start by saying that this is my second year at Hull Middle School in Benton Harbor, Michigan. This is the first time this past year that we did make AYP as relates to Safe Harbor. In our city, it's like none other when it comes to education. We do have a lot of smart kids, but you know the socioeconomic status kind of tweaks that a little bit. But I think what it has done for a city like Benton Harbor and other small area schools like this, it's kind of put it in a bit of a bind. What I mean by that is the punitive measures as relates to the levels. When you talk about levels 4, 5, and 6, with the state, you know, on your necks, for lack of a better term, and threatening to come and shut the school down. So prior to my getting here, the school had no success. I was blessed with a good staff, and we brought structure and organization. Now we're having success. But with those small steps, you can't almost celebrate them, even though you're moving forward, because the state still says, well, we see what's going on. We like it, but we still will come in and shut you down.
But you felt under pressure, Freddie, but yet you delivered.
And, you know, I wouldn't even call it under pressure, because I only know one way. The good thing about me, I am from Benton Harbor. I graduated in 1992. So I came in, and I graduated with most of my parents. So I don't feel pressure at all, because I tell our students, hey, the state standard tests are there. We're measured by them, but it's much more than that. I'm interested in giving you quality learning for every student every day.
Joanne Wilkerson, let me ask you, in Indiana, does No Child Left Behind work, let's say, particularly for students of color?
I believe there is an effort to make it work, but as has been said before, there are some shortcomings. I think one of the things that, when it has worked, one of the things that has caused it to work is how you work the program. I am working currently in a program where I am responsible to assist American young men in graduating. Now, ironically enough, these students are in this program because of No Child Left Behind. That's one of the reasons that we have been able to maintain the program. Not because of the financing of No Child Left Behind, but because of the wording of No Child Left Behind.
So these people qualify?
Yes, they qualify.
And that's
now
important to you?
That is very important. They qualify in the sense that it is almost impossible to deny them the right to such a program as this. Mm-hmm. Because according to No Child Left Behind, it is, you do what's necessary to enable a child to succeed.
Let me bring something up with Anna that both of you have just talked about, and that's the funding. One of the criticisms of the way that the Bush administration handled this program is there wasn't enough funds. And I wanted to know, Anna, there at the convention, do you think that the John McCain people in the education section of their campaign, did they acknowledge that, and will they try to do something about that, or do they promise to?
Well, I haven't heard them make those kind of commitments, monetary commitments, just yet. But I know that we have discussed at length the reauthorizing of the No Child Left Behind law, and I believe that everybody's on board. Every member of Congress and just about everyone is on board as to reauthorize this law and to tweak it, because we all know, whether you agree with the outcomes or not, we all agree that it does need to be tweaked. There are areas that do need to be tweaked.
Let's talk about another tweak. Freddie, you have already said, and we've heard from other educators, they complain that there's a limit to their flexibility in the classroom. Is there anything specific that you want to see as McCain sort of works on education policy? It's already in the platform, but these policies always get revamped as the campaign goes on. Anything specific that you want to see?
Well, since we're talking about the monetary issues, the state, you guys know how it goes, that each district gets so much money and you split it up among the district's schools. And we happen to be a school that gets the most money. And even with that, you have to pay your staff of Title I. Then you have this small amount of money. And one thing, the reason why we have had some success is because I implemented a after-school extended day program where we work solely on math and English. And that works, and it helps. So I would like to see the monetary value rise, but specifically, if there's anything I could say, just that those schools who has made an effort, who hasn't had success before, kind of for the state to kind of give them a little leniency, because, again, we know that these upcoming years, it's a far stretch that I believe it's 2012 that 100% of the students be proficient. And that's not just in an urban area. That's in America. Hmm.
Hang on, Freddie. I want to remind everybody, if they're listening and joining right now, that you are listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. And we're talking about John McCain's education policies with educator Anna Rivas Logan, Freddie McGee, and Joanne Wilkerson. Let me bring up another topic, and we'll get back to what you were talking about, Freddie. And that, Anna, I want to ask you this. You know, tonight's theme for the Republican convention is prosperity. And to the families that you are dealing with, do they see that direct link between prosperity and education?
Absolutely. Miami-Dade County is 65% Hispanic, 20% African-American. So we are a majority-minority county. And in our community, education is absolutely seen as the ticket out of poverty, pretty much, and a ticket to a better future. I think that our communities are there, our families are there, and with this law, the No Child Left Behind, we have focused on outcomes, and that's a good place to be, that we are focusing on the outcome of the educational system.
Joanne, in your community, do people vote on education issues, that link between prosperity and making sure their kids get a decent education? Do they look at the platform of a candidate in education?
I think perhaps the first platform they look at is prosperity in terms of do I have what I need to survive physically? And then after that, how is education going to help me get there? And when we were speaking of the finances, and I think that is very important, another thing I think we have to look at, and that is the growth. We're saying we want our students to be at a certain place at a given time, but it has often been said we must consider where a student is and then measure him according to where he has gone, as opposed to saying everybody is on equal playing ground, because we know in reality this is not the case. There are some students who start out behind, but if that student, say, starts out behind, let's say he's a fourth grader, and he's on a first or second grade level, and he makes 2 or 3 years progress, then he, even though the student may not have met the guidelines or met the goal for No Child Left Behind, that child, in one sense, has gained more than the individual who Absolutely. Perhaps was 1 year behind.
I see you all agree with that. Let me just ask you quickly, because we have about a minute left. And the final question is, for people of color, there are many public education issues. There's low graduation rate, the achievement gap, students who have English as their second language. Let me just quickly ask each of you, what is the primary issue? Let's start with you, Joanne. Primary issue.
Yes, I think the primary issue is not even academics. I think the primary issue is in one sense, it's academic, getting the teacher to see that child as one who can achieve, setting high goals, but as it has been said, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Anna, quickly. We've got very little time left. Anna, quickly. Okay. Yep.
Graduation rates, absolutely.
And
I
Freddie.
Think that's the big.
From you?
You know, I think it's the state-to-state system of how the No Child Left Behind is being run.
Okay, sorry we had to wrap that up so quickly, but we are out of time. Thank you very much, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Freddie McGee is in his second year as principal of Hull Middle School in Benton, Michigan. He joined us by phone from his office. Joanne Wilkerson is a longtime teacher in Anderson, Indiana, and joined us from Indiana Public Radio in Muncie, Indiana. And Anna Rivas Logan is a member of the Miami-Dade School Board and joined us from the Republican Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks